sharing with you a message I entitled, Are You Ready for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? And that's a question we'll all undoubtedly hear many times between now and the 25th day of December. Are you ready for Christmas? What that really means today is have you put up all your Christmas decorations? Has anybody started yet? Everybody got their decorations up? You got yours up, Brother Jay? No, hadn't even started yet. Well, have you finished your Christmas shopping? Have you mailed your Christmas cards? Have you marked your calendars with reminders of where you are supposed to go for Christmas parties and Christmas gatherings and what have you? Amen? Well, we meet ourselves coming and going, don't we? And we call that the Christmas rush. Sometimes the Christmas season becomes so hectic, and because of that, we tend to forget the real reason for the season. There's a rather heartbreaking story about a little girl who watched her mother and dad who were getting ready for Christmas. To her, it seemed like that her dad was always preoccupied with burdens and bundles, and her mother was concerned about parties and presents, and they just didn't have time for her. And she felt that she was being shoved aside. In fact, it seemed that she was always being told, would you please get out of the way? And so one night in December, she knelt beside her bed and prayed this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, please forgive our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us. So when asking the question, are you ready, really ready for Christmas? It's not about, are you ready for the activities? Are you ready for the attitude? So there's a difference between the actions and the activities of Christmas than the attitude that you have at Christmas. Because once in a while, you can hear somebody say this, I just can't get in the what? Christmas spirit. Have you heard of somebody say that? Maybe you heard, maybe you've said it as well. But I want us to go to Matthew chapter 1 and let's just look at a person in the Christmas account in the Bible who had to get ready for the first Christmas. His name was Joseph, and boy, what a man he was. God's kind of man, a man of real courage. And as we consider him, as he got ready for the first Christmas, he was definitely more than just a male. His entire experience of getting ready for Christmas proved that he was a real man of courage. And after all, it was filled with hard decisions. He had to make some decisions that required lots of internal fortitude and some real deep, and we would call it our southern way of saying it, it took some real guts to do what he did. And as we go through it, you'll find out. And decisions were required. And it took courage. And that is the stuff men, not males, are made of. And that's the message that Joseph identifies as he gets ready for Christmas, because it took courage to resist the plunge toward having a revengeful spirit. What if you were engaged to a woman and she walked up to you and told you she was expecting and that you had never been involved with her? Well, you'd want to go to the man and probably give him a punch in the nose. It took courage to listen to the voice of the Lord and not the pressure of the world, because the pressure of the world would say, put her away, get rid of her. I think it took courage to remain true to Mary in the face of the pressure that was around him and in the society. And then it took courage to remain pure even after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the question comes, where did this courage come from? Where did it come from? What things came together to produce that kind of integrity and that kind of courage to live? And I want us to move through this passage of Scripture tonight, and I hope that it will be a blessing and give you some insight into Joseph's life as he displayed the integrity and courage and as he got ready for that great first Christmas. If you're taking notes, I want you to note this. First of all, I want you to notice how he practiced personal integrity regardless of public pressure. Look at verse 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found of child, with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Notice the phrase, if you will, it says, then, when he found out about it, Joseph, her husband, being a just man. This indicates something about what was going on already in Joseph's life. It tells us that he was already doing the right thing. This means he had a heart of belief. In other words, we could say positionally, this meant that Joseph was a saved man. He knew what it was to be saved. And he had a heart of belief in the Lord. But it also meant that he was involved not only in a positional religious experience of salvation, but he was also involved in a practical righteous life. In other words, he tried always to do the right thing regardless of what was going on. In fact, the word just, you look it up, and I always love to take our King James and take those words and just look up what the original language that King James was translated into and just get some insight into what those words really mean. It's just a real blessing. And right now I wore out my Strong's Concordance. The old backs are just about to fall off, and I love that old Strong's. But with a computer, all you got to do is go up there and put the word just, and then put Greek, and then put Strong's, and then immediately go right to four or five different ways of with the word just. And so I do that, and then I footnote it in my message. And the just means, the passage means, just means in the right. And it's in the Greek, it's in what they refer to as a continuous present. It's like he was just originally, and he continues to be just. In other words, it's just like being saved. That's the way it is. When you get born again, you get born again immediately, and then that born again experience starts working in its life, its living. And in other words, it simply means that not only was Joseph a saved man, but he did things right even when things were hard. Yet Joseph had a personal zeal for righteousness that was rooted in his passion for the Lord and his thirst to do the right thing. Do the right thing. And as I was putting this together, I was reminded of my school years. I went almost 12 years in the same school building. Started out in the first grade and went in the second grade, and we moved and came back in the fourth grade, and I graduated from high school in the same building. It wasn't a one-room schoolhouse, it was a long building. The principal of the school was he wasn't a dictator, but boy, he was always in charge. Do y'all know what I mean by that? He knew what was going on all the time, and he was the fellow that whipped blue jeans when blue jeans jumped out the window. But every year in September, if we weren't picking cotton baling hay, we had to go to the assembly in the gym when all the students met in the gym. Now, Mr. Arthur had a rule. If you had a pocket knife and you took it to school, if you'd bring it to him, he'd give it to you at when school's out that day. But if he had to confiscate it, and he knew you had it, and he had to tell you to give it to him, he would keep it till the school year was out before he'd give it back to you. That was kind of a rule he had. And when he got ready to whip somebody, he had a strap about this. About, you never whip me. Don't come. And he asked me, he had a strap that he used, and boy, could he wear people out. And we had the meeting, and he would say, here is, we have one rule at our school, and here it is. Number one, do right. He said, if you do right, you'll never get in trouble with me. I thought that was just very, very straight and simple. And that's exactly what Joseph was doing. In spite of the public pressure, he just kept on doing right. And so when this becomes the guiding principle, this becomes your North Star, then it doesn't matter how difficult or how easy the task. Only one thing matters, is what is the right thing to do? What's the right thing to do? This is how courage is forged into the life of the child of God, when he constantly is always doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord, even though there may come difficult times. Though doing the right thing over and over is not maybe so difficult at times, but then it becomes a part of your own character. We often call doing right integrity. We call it ethics. We call it character. This is what enables a person to make tough decisions, because when you settle some things personally, you're able to make tough decisions when the time comes. You don't have I don't know what to do. You can have as the Lord Jesus said, you can have a yea. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. You can say yes and no quicker, right? Notice some places where I believe you ought to practice courage and integrity. We ought to understand this, that our children demand integrity. Our workplace demands integrity. Our family demands integrity. Our finances demand integrity, and our whole society should demand integrity. However, we need to be aware that moral purity and integrity is sneered at in our present day and age. And regardless, we are to do right every day in every situation. And as we do, courage will start to develop, and little by little, courage will be a stronger part of our everyday life. And that's the way it was with Joseph. Now, secondly, if you're taking notes, I want you to notice how you should consider how he pursued God's will over man's will. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, he had to make a decision, and he said, then Joseph in verse 19, not being a just man, was not willing to put her away, and was minded to put away privately, but while he thought on these things, boy, it's a good thing he was wise enough to not make a quick decision like some of us might would happen. Go and try to find the guy. Go and bring her before the magistrates and have her stoned. No, he said while he thought on these things, and when you're thinking on this thing and back off, you let the Holy Spirit do some things, and that's what the Holy Spirit did. So here he was. Here in this passage in verses 20, 21, 22, and 23, God is instructing Joseph in a dream. Now, you say, well, Brother Lilly, why didn't he read the Word? They didn't have a copy of the Word of God around like we do. They didn't. In fact, it was only a copy that was in itself in the temple. So he didn't have it. He had a clear understanding from God what he was to do. Boy, that is precious, isn't it? And when you do understand what God wants you to do, you'll be ready, and he got ready for the first Christmas. And this dream guided him and brought him to clarity, and it brought him to conviction and developed a courage even when it was not what society thought he should do. And because he had a clear understanding of God's will for his life, the opinions of others did not matter at all. Brother, isn't that a wonderful place to be in your Christian life? When you understand what God wants you to do. I remember years ago I listened to a sermon on a record by the late Dr. George W. Truett. And Dr. Truett had a gruff voice. And Dr. Robertson and I were talking about it one time, and he said, you know he was now millennialist. He said, I said, yes, sir, I knew that. He said, he's not now. He's in heaven with the Lord. And the Lord got him straightened out. And he said, you want the will of God? Here's how you find it. Very simple, two ways. Find out what God wants, then go ahead and do it. He said, it's just that simple. Just that simple. That's all of life. He found out what God wanted him to do, and he did it. Now, we must understand that Joseph didn't have all the scriptures that you and I have today. He had to depend on what he had been taught in his Jewish upbringing about scripture. However, understand that Joseph put God's will above all other voices. And brother, I want to tell you, there's a lot of voices out there. It's crying at us and trying to pull us away. He was in tune with what God had to say to him. I like that. He was in touch with God's will for his life. Just putting it right down. So what's the application? Question is, whose voice are you listening to today? Who are you tuned in to today? God does have a clear plan, as I mentioned last Sunday in my message, a clear plan for every life. And there is a call to obedience that he wants you and me to hear, see, and grasp, and well as do. And are you listening to the Holy Spirit as you read the Word of God and meditate upon God's Word and seeking the Lord for what he wants us to do? Now, we need to understand something now. There is an all-out attack today on the will of God for Christians today. Everywhere you go, there is an all-out attack. Our culture will do all it can to make sure that you don't hear from God. Right? Why? Because most often, God's will and man's wisdom is quite a lot of difference. The television, the media, the ads, the mass media, it's all a loud voice designed to distract you and me from what matters most. Amen? And if you let it, that voice will get your attention, and you will lose the voice of God in your life, and it gets you unnecessarily focused on non-essentials and the present trivial issues that make up our present lives. And what you'll do, you'll live in the fog and you'll miss God's will. What if Joseph had gotten up the next morning and said, I just had a bad dream last night. I was thinking about a lot of other things and I didn't have time to listen to what God had to say. I've got so many things I need to do that I don't have. What would happen? Trouble. Trouble. Here's what happened. When man's wisdom overrides God's vision, we lose our perspective and our ability to see life from God's point of view. And it begins when we get everything out of the way and let him have full control. But if he doesn't, it'll become, it'll be, it begins to diminish, and we start thinking the things of the world, and it becomes the key to our lives. If we let that go unchecked, then it starts filtering into those around us. Our family, our friends, and our associates, and they start buying into the same kind of thinking, what is exactly why less and less young people today are entering the ministry. We have, and we're thankful for all of the people that God gives us through Baptist International Mission, but I haven't heard lately of how many young people are surrendering their lives to go into full-time ministry. Why? Because they are so absolutely, the will of God is so foggy in their lives because they got so many things they got to, and everybody walks around with one of those, have it and following the directions there and spending too much time there. And as a result, it kind of builds up around them because people are failing to portray a vision for life larger than what they simply can see and touch. And Joseph, however, knew something bigger was going to happen. He wasn't just, his wife-to-be was not going to just have a little boy. God was being incarnated into man. And this, the vision God had for his life, was very critical to his courage. And brother, if he didn't have had the courage to stand, where would we be today? And until a Christian finds a real spiritual cause to live for, they will never find anything to die for. Courage for now is never produced apart from a vision for the future. Then lastly, I want you to notice tonight how he preferred sacrificial action over and instead of superficial anger. In verses 24 and 25, boy, this gets into something serious. Don't you just love this verse? Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did what? As the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife. What made it this so incredible is that his actions were all sacrificial. Everything. All sacrificial in nature. And when the going gets tough, Joseph got sacrificial. Look at the text and see a couple of things. Number one, he took unto him his wife. Now, the second part. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Precious. I think Joseph was a great example of someone who was very courageous and showed that courage through his sacrificial actions. Therein lies, I believe, the essence of courage. We show it best when there is pressure, when there is, it becomes sacrificial. Isn't that the real embodiment of a hero? A person who is courageous, a person who is sacrificial, a person who is willing to step out and be strong and be a man. Think about this for a moment. Joseph could have responded in anger. And would have been completely legal to do just the opposite of what he did. He would have been legal. Imagine how Joseph could have reacted when he found out that Mary was pregnant. At that moment, the only way he could have explained her pregnancy, since he and Mary had not consummated their marriage, was that she would have been unfaithful to him with another man. Just think about that. She was an adulteress until he understood clearly what was going on. Any man would have responded under such circumstances in shock. Joseph thought Mary was a pure girl. And he must have been shocked to the core. Sorrow. His dreams of marriage to this young girl now seem to be forever shattered. And anger Joseph must have felt betrayed, his manly pride would have made him want to punish somebody or punch somebody's lights out. No one would have blamed him if he had not called a terrible scene in the village there where they lived in Bethlehem. But Joseph's godly character enabled him to rein in on his anger, and instead he responded very thoughtfully, very spiritually, and very biblically in an appropriate manner. In this response, Joseph expressed his courage by providing and protecting his family. You say, that is unusual in an unusual situation. Could I close with giving you another example of some people with real courage? Let me take you to an incredible time when these three components that I've shared with you tonight from verses 18 through 25, really came together and really exploded in the life of the early church. Over in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, we have some, Peter and John are here. And we want to know, where in the world did they get such courage? After all, that's what the rulers noticed according to verse 13 in chapter 4. The Bible says there, now when they saw the boldness. And so I went and looked up the word boldness. It means free and fearless and cheerful courage. And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. And what's the rest of the verse? And they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Now, let's put that together. How did it happen? Now, if you have your notes there, first of all, if you look over what went on in their lives, first of all, they were practicing integrity by doing the right thing. Were they told to do? Jesus told him back in Acts chapter 1, he said, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost part of the world. And they were starting out doing exactly what God told them to do, and that was witnessing of the resurrection and telling everybody how to be saved. So that's how they started. Then secondly, they were continuing to pursue God's vision for their life. What was God's vision for their life? World evangelism, beginning at Jerusalem and going to Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost part of the world. That's what they were doing. And then that thirdly, here's what happened. They preferred sacrifice to compromise. They were willing to put their lives on the line for the sake of the new church. Now, no wonder. Wow. No wonder courage exploded in the life of Peter and John, just like Joseph. They had merged all of these things together, and they had those three principles ordained by God, and the result was courage and integrity and boldness. So if you really want to get ready for Christmas and be the kind of person the Lord wants you to be, then be a man or woman of courage. It may start today by your willingness to come to terms with difficult areas in your life and make hard decisions and submit to God's vision and admit. And this is where we don't like to come to this part. Sometimes we don't, and I think this is a secret to living a strong, courageous life, is admitting our own personal failures. It's the hardest thing in the world for us to do. And so this Christmas, as we approach it, let's join Joseph, let's join Peter and John, and get ready for Christmas by being Christians of godly courage. How do you do that? You respond as Joseph did. Joseph did this. He accepted God's will, whatever it may be. That's a hard one sometimes for us, isn't it? It is. To be honest with you, it's hard. But Joseph accepted God's will, whatever it involved. And not only that, but the second part of it was Joseph focused away from himself and focused on other people. And as a result, he learned to care about other people rather than himself. Looking out for Joseph. No, immediately, if you look in the passage of Scripture there, you'll find that Joseph went straight and started working with Mary then and getting things straight with her and getting her taken care of. Thirdly, he learned to give whatever he had to give. You know, Joseph, you think about this. Joseph didn't know that in a few months after Jesus would be born, he would have to take Mary and that baby all the way to Egypt and be away from his homeland and be away from his loved ones for a long time. And he didn't know all the demands that would be made of him at this time. But whatever God asked Joseph to do, you'll find it all the way through the Scriptures in the early days of Jesus that Joseph always did what God wanted him to do. Never hear a complaint. Never hear one complaint out of that fellow. And I think he's one of the finest men that ever lived in Scripture, don't y'all? I just really, really respect him. And I'm looking forward to seeing Joseph in heaven. I'd like to sit down and talk to him. What a man of courage and character and integrity, and a man that loved the Lord. Amen? And so may God help us all to the days that are ahead, that you and I will develop that kind of courage to do the will of God and follow Him regardless of what's going on around us. Amen? Let's have prayer, and we'll close off our connection with the media here, and then we'll have our time of prayer. So let's do that. It's this time. Father, we thank you so much for Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. We thank you, Father, that we have learned some things that has just been a blessing to my life. And I pray that you would help me in my Christian life to develop more courage and more boldness in witnessing and taking a stand for what's right. And always, Father, reading your word and doing what is right. We pray that, Father, anyone that is in our unseen audience, Father, that is being challenged tonight, we pray that they would really, really yield to your will and yield to the word of God and find themselves doing what you want them to do, and that's doing right all the time, developing courage and boldness in these days. We know the world doesn't like that, and we are grateful, our Father, that we can go ahead and do it anyhow by the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Bless as we go into our prayer time, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and God bless you. Let me get to prayer.